the Ozarks, back on the farm.
Come on in and set a spell, won't you, neighbors? Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other, and Ozark folklore and traditions, and generally speaking, to help brighten up your day this Saturday. Good morning, Mae.
Good morning, Fred Lynn. And thank you so much. And good morning, friends, and how are you this November morning? Before long now, we'll be having Thanksgiving Day. And what a day of thanks it should be this year. Just a few days ago, we were poised on the brink of nuclear war and total destruction, and we were saved from it. And if ever on earth our hearts should be filled with gratitude, it's this Thanksgiving. You know, this day was created from the very depths of gratitude by the Pilgrim Fathers in 1623. They had suffered that awful winter of starvation. Nobody knows how terrible it was. I once read a history of it. It was a history not taught in the general schools. And it said that they had to eat their dead that awful winter of cold and starvation. History tells us this is a fact. They froze to death, and they died of starvation that terrible winter on perfectly barren and bleak land that had produced nothing. Disease set in, and people went insane, and we can never know how tragic that winter was. Then the next spring and summer, they had a bountiful crop, and Governor Bradford appointed a day of Thanksgiving. It has been perpetuated ever since. It was lagging sometimes, and then George Washington made it a national holiday. But it was kept at intervals. Then Abraham Lincoln revived it, and since then it has been a day set aside. He set it aside, the fourth Thursday in November. All presidents since then have proclaimed the day, and it is a family day, a day of get-together of loved ones. I used to like Thanksgiving down in my hills, even more than Christmas, because while Christmas was a wonderful day for the children especially, but the rowdies always took it for a day to get drunk, drink and swear off drinking, then drink again New Year's Day, and swear off again. Oh, my, how I hated that part of it. To take Christmas, the birthday of the Savior of mankind, and they do it yet. You bet they do. It's a common phrase, it used to be and it is yet. Well, have you got in your Christmas liquor? I wonder if anybody on earth hates the liquor traffic more than I do. I always try to say very little about it because it's a subject I don't dare start, because I never come to the end. I could be sitting here tomorrow at this date, still talking. Anyway, let's all have grateful hearts on this coming Thanksgiving Day. I love Christmas too. I love it just as I did when I was a kid. But as I said, they spoil it for me. But we must be grateful. The Bible says in Isaiah, I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people. Well, I want to thank the women again this morning for the trading stamps. I'm going to talk a little bit about it this morning. Always my heart is touched by their kindness, because I know they'd love to keep them and have a book. I had a little talk with Miss Carl Wyman on Route 1 this week. She comes to see me and picks up the stamps so she can paste them all neatly in books. She's Ways and Means Chairman for the parents' organization, you know, of this retarded children's home at Marshall, for whom we're buying the bus. We're coming along fine. I have the facts pretty clearly now. There will be an article in the Springfield paper about it tomorrow. The bus is already set aside. It will take, and it's a good bus, they say, and a big one. But it'll take 4,059 books full of stamps. But my land, they get them with the millions for other things. They've got a great fad for it now. Everybody is buying something in the church or something in the schools with trading stamps. But, of course, our stamps for the Marshall home are coming from workers all over the state. Ms. Wyman has filled and sent in 350 books. And we have had $36 in cash sent in small amounts, mostly a dollar enclosed in an envelope to us, and $10 twice and $5 three times, I believe. Send us a dollar whenever you can afford it. Now we're going to get points also on the books, a system I'll explain later. That bus will be here before too long, we know. And a letter from the institution says this. To Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Public, this is the letter. If you could see the happy, smiling faces of the youngsters who will ride this bus, you'd help all you could. Many of these youngsters don't know what a trip of any sort is like. Many have no family. Many are deserted by their family. Their world is such a limited one. This bus will enable them to be taken to points of interest around Marshall, to football, basketball, on picnics and concerts, and when they get tickets to shows and all, and on outings and good weather and things in general. After a trip somewhere, their world is a brighter place. Please help these kids to get around. That's what the letter said. Miss Wyman always takes pictures when she goes up there, and she showed me a snapshot she took of a little mentally retarded boy who saved another little boy's life recently. The other little boy had set himself afire accidentally some ways. Kids will do sometimes. I forget what Eula Wyman said he was playing with. I don't know if it was matches. I don't know what it was. Well, this little boy, retarded in mind, took off his heavy coat and threw it around the boy who was afire and smothered the fire and saved his life. So the National Boy Scouts have sent him a medal and a citation. Retarded my eye. He had lots more sense than most of the rest of us and lots more courage. There's a fine article in the Saturday Evening Post of September the 22nd about Rosemary Kennedy, the sister of President Kennedy. I wonder if you read it. You know, she's a mentally retarded girl from birth. She's a woman in the 30s now. There was a picture of the president and this sister Rosemary and his sister Eunice. This retarded woman is in a splendid institution. Her sister Eunice, who is Mrs. Shriver, wrote this article in the Post, and it is so moving and touching, so frank and honest, and she tells all about her sister from the beginning. So the Kennedys, who are of course very wealthy, have given a huge endowment to a fund for retarded children everywhere. And Mrs. Shriver, the president's sister, and her husband, they entertain retarded children a great deal on their lovely farm and play with them and take them around in little cute carts made for the purpose. Mrs. Shriver said that many people, when they have a retarded child in mind or a malformed child, will send them away to a home even before they're a month old, then publish in the papers the child's obituary as if it had died, so no one will know. Isn't that a trick? This is done very often, she says, they found out. Little retarded children are born to all sorts of families. It's no disgrace in the least. It might happen to any family. She referred to Stanley High, the late editor of Reader's Digest. You know about him. And he has a retarded son in an institution. She referred to Pearl Buck, the famous writer who has written a book about her poor little retarded daughter. And many, many other prominent people. And as Mrs. Shriver said, also in the family of the President of the United States is a retarded girl. We never know where the lightning will strike in life anywhere, do we? But I always love this poem. God has a special place for broken things, for shattered trees, for birds with broken wings, for children born to crippled minds and small, the sick, the blind, the lame. He sweeps them all into some special paradise where he will make them whole for all eternity. God has a special place for broken things, for broken dreams and battered little joys, for shattered hopes and splintered little toys. God has a special place for broken things. Indeed, he does. I want to say happy birthday to Eula Wyman's mother, Mrs. Anna B. Schoen. She was 82 Thursday. She's well, and she's just a wonderful woman. It was through her that I ever became interested in the children at Marshall. She adopted a little retarded boy not too long ago, and she loved him so. But it became impossible to keep the little fellow, for he had to have treatment. And so she sent him to Marshall, and that's how her daughter Eula became the grand woman that she is, to help this institute. And they love the little boy so. And she and her mother go there regularly to see little Joe and to do what they can in every way for all the children. It's on their hearts at all times. Well, I got the cutest little clipping cut from a paper sent me by Miss Mina Hammer at Sheldon, Missouri. I thought I'd tell you this. You know how the pupils cram for examinations, as they call it? Oh, they've got to stay home tonight and cram the night before examinations. So a young visitor said to little Jim, "Why does your grandma sit there and just read the Bible all day?" Little Jim said, "She's cramming for the finals." Isn't that a fact? And we who are older had better be cramming for the finals. And I read a cute one yesterday. It said the old saying is that a fool and his money are soon parted. But how did a fool and his money get together in the first place? I thought that was a cute one. Well, but it was pretty easy, I thought, to guess. Well, I'll tell you, many a fool inherited a big fortune. That's the way he and the money got together. And another good one I read was this. It said, "Can you remember when we thought the government was extravagant for sending out a small canvas sack of free garden seeds?" Extravagant. Do you all remember when that was? I remember I was just a kid. Seeds were sent out to all rural people, and my Uncle Milton Kennedy would get them, and he'd say, "Well, the government blows money sending out these seeds, and I'll bet one-tenth of the people don't plant them. What are we coming to anyway? Bankruptcy," he'd say. Hoo-hoo, my goodness, bankruptcy. Wouldn't my dear uncle turn over in his grave if he could see the billions spent now on gadgets to blow the human race to pieces? Or to go to the moon to shoot a rocket off at some of the planets or something of the sort? What a world, what a world. I'm glad my good uncle doesn't know about it, because just that little bag of garden seeds weighing about 12 ounces was extravagance, he thought, in those days. My good friend Hazel Limley at Dunnigan sent me a cute tale called A Satisfactory Dividing. The old farmer and his wife had agreed to separate. They had only one child. "Is everything friendly?" asked his neighbor. "Oh, yes," replied the old man. "She gets the kid and the canned fruit, and I get the pig and the apples." That's even enough, ain't it? And I do enjoy the little paper printed out at Grand Acres Rest Home. It has a splendid editor, Mr. Walter Owen, and he sends the paper to me. I go out there whenever I can. I don't get to go often enough. It's a home-like, wonderful place. Two little quips I liked in his quips and quotes. One said, "Before you borrow money from a friend, decide which you need more, the friend or the money." And is that a fact? Then another one was this, and it's a good thought for the day to close with. There are 2 days about which nobody should ever worry: yesterday and tomorrow. Goodbye, and I'll be seeing you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and I can catch my pony in the creek, don't rise, and the devil ain't doing the fiddling, Freddie.